So one of the things that my friends and I love to do is tell stories. I would say it's one of our skills, but it might drive other people crazy. We'll tell a story within a story within a story. Like, we'll be in the middle of a story, but then I'll have a question like, well, what was the person wearing and where were you sitting and how old is the person? And it is one of my favorite things because we'll go story within a story within a story, and then we'll come back to where we started to begin with. Well, I was so surprised to learn that there's actually a Hebrew literary device for that actual thing. And so Dawn is going to teach us about this really cool literary device and where you're going to find it in your Come Follow Me study this week. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scriptures, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalak Hall with Dr. Donald W. Perry. All right, let's get into our scriptures. Grab your scriptures and something to mark them with. And we are going to turn to Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. That's going to start us off. And we get to talk about a man by the name of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. All right, Don, talk to us about Melchizedek.
Wow. Okay. So who was Melchizedek? Abraham paid tithing to him. That's interesting. Melchizedek was the keeper of God's storehouse. Melchizedek blessed Abram. I think he gave him a blessing. Melchizedek's people wrought righteousness, and then they obtained heaven. Melchizedek was king of Salem. Now, Salem is a Hebrew word, the same root as shalom. Mm-hmm. We'll look at that in a few minutes.
Okay.
He was the priest of the Most High God. Abraham received the priesthood from Melchizedek. What a man. He's very important. Now, I've got two lexicons that say his name means king of righteousness or my king is righteous. Mm-hmm. So they don't agree, but they're both very close. I really like my king is righteous better. I could parse the word and tell you why. But just so everyone knows, and I've said this before, where there are three scholars, there are four opinions. So just so we know, but it's close. And here it is here. This is the word king right here. Mm-hmm. And then this is righteousness.
I loved learning this in Hebrew.
Yeah.
That Melchizedek, the way it breaks down, you pointed, the first word is melech, which means king. And Zedek, which means righteous in Hebrew. So it's those two words, Melech, Zedek, Melchizedek.
And he, of course, is a type and shadow of Jesus,
right.
The king. I'm jumping ahead. To the right here, there's a Dead Sea Scroll found in Cave 11, Melchizedek. So a scroll named after Melchizedek.
You can see it.
And so his name is written in Hebrew about 100 BC. If you point to the Mem and the Lamed, mm-hmm. and then the Kaf and the Yod, and then
Zedek.
Zedek. So it's just so fun to read it in someone's book hand over 2,000 years ago.
I think so too.
So I put that in there.
So Melchizedek, he is called the great high priest. Before Melchizedek's day, it was called the holy priesthood after the order of the Son of God. But out of respect or reverence to the name of the supreme being, to avoid the too frequent repetition of his name, they, the church in ancient days, called that priesthood after Melchizedek or the Melchizedek priesthood. So why Melchizedek priesthood? Because Melchizedek was such a great high priest.
I love that. You have these huge, eternally significant prophets in the Old Testament, and yet the priesthood is named after him because he's such a great high priest. We'll look at a couple of ways that he was great. Now, Melchizedek was a man of faith who wrought righteousness, and when a child, he feared God and stopped the mouths of lions, plural, and quenched the violence of fire. I want the rest of the story.
I do too. This is fun because I had a seminary class and I had some things about different Old Testament prophets. And I said, see if you can match the prophet to this saying. And I had this up there and the kids were guessing that it was Daniel. The kids were guessing it was all these other, they did not think it was Melchizedek. And that's when we discovered the Joseph Smith translation, but they had guessed all these other prophets from Old Testament. So I think this is really great that you included this.
I do too.
Yeah. I want to know the rest of that story.
So this is a 6th century mosaic. 6th century AD. The reason it's still so clear is because it's a mosaic. Mm-hmm. The mosaic is little teeny rocks of different colors, and it's in Ravenna, Italy. It's in the Basilica. Let's look at a couple of things. This is Abel offering up a lamb, Abraham offering up Isaac, and Melchizedek offering up bread and wine. Mm-hmm. Three images of offerings, and then you see God's hand coming down to accept. That's what the scholars say. He's sending his hand to accept these three offerings. Notice this table or altar. You have some wine and bread. You have this interesting star here. And then notice a veil or curtain, red, and it has symbols on it. So I'm going to show you another one.
Okay.
And this is similar. This is a few miles away in a 2nd basilica. This is downtown. And here again, it's Melchizedek. We know that because his name is up there. He's offering up bread. Notice he has a gold halo, which says he's a saint. Holy. God's hand coming from heaven to accept this. Abel again, we know it's Abel, offering up a lamb. And similar symbols on this, including a stylized square. And square, and here's some more. So similar. And then there's a Dead Sea Scroll, another one. And this is cave 11 where the scroll was discovered. The scroll called Melchizedek, 11Q Melchizedek, around 100 BC. A scholar who's actually a friend of mine has summarized, and I'm going to quote him. So in this document, 11Q Melchizedek from Qumran, Melchizedek is pictured as an angelic or divine being, an Elohim, who may have priestly associations, and who is an eschatological judge. That means end of days judge.
Okay.
So see, in this document, he's very important.
Okay, so this is what I was talking about at the very beginning. If you're the type of person that likes to tell a story and then stop to give more information before you come back to the story, that's a thing. It's actually a thing. And Don, teach us what it's called and where we can find it in scripture.
All right, so it's called resumptive repetition, which is a super fancy term. It's a 50-cent term.
I like it.
I like 5-cent terms because I'm from Idaho.
Sure.
So it just means it's repetition that resumes.
Okay.
We're going to hear a quote and then it's going to resume below. So here's an example just to let everyone see. Exodus 14:22, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And then notice all this in between verses 23 through 28, verse 29, then resumes with the repetition. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and their left. So it's just like you and your friends talking.
Yes, absolutely. And now I can say we just experienced resumptive repetition.
Mark Brettler, another friend of mine, I hang out with a lot of scholars. Very over cool. The last 30 years.
Sure.
He says the Bible's full of repetitive resumptions and no one has yet cataloged them. So if there's a PhD student out there in Hebrew Bible that's looking for a PhD dissertation,
there it is,
or a master's thesis, here's a topic for you, all ready to go.
Wow, okay.
Do you all remember in the silent film era? I don't know if anyone has seen a silent film and they don't have any words.
Right.
And it'll show a scene and then it'll come back to the major theme. And then on the screen it says, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Yeah.
And it keeps everyone following the storyline. Now, here's something fascinating. Guess what? There are over 100 examples of resumptive of this form in the Book of Mormon.
Wow.
And Royal Skousen has conducted the work. So 100 examples, and you have to say, how did they get in there? Well, the Book of Mormon came out of the ancient world, out of the world of the Bible.
Yeah.
So it will have some. So I've got two examples. Yea, well did Mosiah say, words, and then come back to it. Yea, well did he say. That's an example.
That's awesome. Okay, here's the other one. And it came to pass that the Nephites who were not slain by the weapons of war after having buried those who had been slain. Now, and I love this. Now, the number of slain who were the numbered because of the greatness of their number. Then you come back after they had finished the burying of the dead. Like, that's just a little fact inserted into the storyline.
Is that cool?
I love that.
I love it too.
It's the idea, like,
I love it.
That is why I love the Book of Mormon and finding Hebraisms in the Book of Mormon, because again, Joseph Smith could not have known this.
And this is one category of Hebraisms in the Book of Mormon. There are 30 total categories that I'm aware of. This is just one of the 30.
It's awesome.
So, all right.
I love this kind of stuff.
Guess what? I was studying this text for this podcast and I found an example of resumptive repetition in the Joseph Smith translation.
That's cool.
I just think it's astounding. Then it says, and Melchizedek lift up his voice and blessed Abram. And then he adds some truths about Melchizedek and the priesthood and the powers of the priesthood and Melchizedek and his people. And then follows the resumptive repetition. And he lifted up his voice and he blessed Abram. Word for word.
There it is.
There's one in the Joseph Smith translation. We already knew they were in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. We knew they were in the Book of Mormon. I had no idea there'd be one in the Joseph Smith translation.
That is awesome. I love that, Don. Okay, so now this is a new topic, and here's what we want to talk about with Melchizedek. We have from iniquity and abomination to repentance. This is Melchizedek's mighty faith. Now, this Melchizedek was a king over the land of Salem, and his people had waxed strong in iniquity and abomination. Yea, they had all gone astray. They were full of all manner of wickedness. But Melchizedek, having exercised mighty faith and received the office of the high priesthood according to the holy order of God, did preach repentance unto his people. And behold, they did repent, and Melchizedek did establish peace in the land in his days. Therefore, he was called the Prince of Peace, for he was the king of Salem, and he did reign under his father. Now, there were many before him, and also there were many afterwards, but none were greater. Therefore, of him they have more particularly made mention. Well, and the really neat thing about this is right where it says he's called the Prince of Peace. If you heard that and thought, so is Jesus, we have some really good news for you. Because in the next episode, we are going to talk about how Melchizedek is a type or a shadow of the Savior Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So go look forward to that new episode, and thank you for joining us today. Shalom and goodbye.